Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 17th of February, 2019. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week, Paul's continuing our series looking at the church in Christ through Ephesians. And this week, he's looking at unity. The reading is Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 19. So we'll hear the reading and then Paul will start the sermon.
The reading this morning is from Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 11, and is on page 1174 of the Church Bible. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Well, good morning, friends. It's good to worship with you. There are times when I want to say, keep going. And that song that says, actually, it's not about me, it's about you, Lord. I love that song. It reminds us that we are the Lord's, and all that he does here, his work, his good work, is awesome. And in reality, it's you and I, friends, that often get in the way. This morning, we're going to continue to look at what Paul says as he writes this amazing letter to this church in Ephesus. The book's called Ephesians. A letter that speaks to you and I about being church in Christ. And today we're going to look at a passage from Ephesians 2. We're going to look at church unity. Now I know the biblical scholars will say to me, you normally look at Ephesians 4 when you're thinking of unity. That's true. It's a great passage of unity. But actually this passage has something to say to us here today, I believe. Now last week I challenged all of you to read this letter every week as we study what Paul has to say. Now I won't ask if you've managed it. But simply say, if you did, well done. And if you didn't, don't feel condemned about the fact that you didn't. Simply, what I'd like to do is rather encourage you to read it this week. Let God speak to you through his word. It's an awesome, awesome letter. We turn then to that passage from Ephesians chapter 2. Now, Paul is saying, as he writes to a church, saying here, actually, it's about what Christ has done. As he writes to a church, whilst mostly Gentile in nature, also has a significant proportion of Jews. He's saying, if you want to be church, there is no sense in which one group can claim superiority over the other. And he says it on the grounds of, as verse 13 says, our salvation depends not upon ourselves, but on the reality of who Jesus Christ is. In other words, he centers this on Christ It is Christ that is the cornerstone, he is later going to go on and say. Now the Jews, of course, they are God's people, please don't get me wrong. But what Paul is saying is we all of us rely upon the reality of who Christ is. He seems to be saying here, and I would argue saying to this church in Ephesus, and moreover this church in Minehead, because our bond, our common experience is of who Jesus is of the reality of his salvation and his grace, that's why we should be and can be united with one another in peace, in unity. Not because the pastor says so. You could even disagree with me. How's that sound? Does that sound fair? Good. Guess what? That means I can disagree with you. Because our unity isn't dependent upon whether we agree with each other, but rather under Christ, how much we love each other, how much we deal with each other. Christ is amazing, isn't he? When we make church all about our Lord, church is amazing. Which means when you and I worship the Lord in spirit and truth, you are amazing. After all, if church is about who's right and who's wrong, then I think I need to do you all a favor this morning and remind you of the prophetic words that were printed on a mug given to me this Christmas. This is the mug. And in case you can't see it, this is what it says. I'm a vicar. To save time, let's just assume that I'm never wrong. There's the mug. Can you see that? That's a great mug, isn't it? Of course, that's nonsense, isn't it? Because I'm wrong just as much as you are, as often as you are, as profoundly as you are. But church is not about who's right or wrong among us. Because as we declared last week, the church has a leader, a head, and his name is Jesus Christ, and he is never wrong. He is right. And despite the differences we have, he loves all of us just the same. And what counts is how we love each other. Now, Paul's call is not one that says we need to be homogenized. Did you notice he says there are Jews and Gentiles? He's not calling about homogenization. Indeed, he's not saying we should all look or be the same. Rather, his call is to become one in Christ, different, yet one in him. And friends, that is really good news for all of you, isn't it? I want to invite you to look at me. Is that okay? Those of you that are getting blind by the ship, no. Because if that's true, this is what it means to you. You do not all, none of you have to look like, sound like, be as I am. Thank you. Is that good news this morning or what? I got to tell you, friends, it's even better for where I am. Because if it's true, I have the better new bit of news. I don't have to be like, sound like, or look like you either. But rather, if we agree that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and you and I, and you are you and I are me, that together, when we turn our attentions away from ourselves and we concentrate and focus on the grace and the love of Jesus Christ, not only will we be church, we are church. Because what you and I do is not based upon who we are anymore, but based upon who Jesus is. And here's some more good news for today. You ready for it? The minister of this church is a sinner. Who said, oh no? I've seen your hat, Julian. There's no getting away on that, my friend. I'm as big a sinner as everyone else, including you. And the reality is that despite years of training at theological college and even more years of ministerial formation training, none of that stopped the minister, the pastor, being a sinner. None of it. Only Jesus Christ helped him in his sin, helped him turn away, become reconciled with God. I am no better or indeed no worse than anybody else here. And all the 7 years of training has taught me is that I am aware more than ever before that I need to rely on the personal gift of grace of Jesus Christ in my life. And if I must, indeed if I need to rely upon that 100%, then so do you. And that's what binds us. Sinners together, giving glory to the Lord. There's a summary of Paul's writing here. And what binds us is far greater and more powerful than anything that divides us. We are an amazing group of people. Did you know that? We are the most dangerous group of people to the enemy meeting in Minehead this morning. Did you know that? Bless you, Philip, for the affirmation of that, because I'm with my brother there. Absolutely, we are dangerous to the enemy. Because all we're asked to do is to stop focusing on ourselves and start focusing on him. And so confidently I say this to you. Jesus Christ reconciled you and I to God. And as we believe that, then even if we believe, there is the most amazing chasm between you and I as we worship at NBC, then he can surely reconcile us one to another. He's done the work already, given us the gift, poured out his grace. That which unites us is greater than anything that could divide us. Now, several years ago, this guy has written several quotes. It's just one I like. This guy called Ravi Zacharias is an Indian-born American Christian. Met with one of the founders of Hamas, a Palestinian, well, I would call them terrorist organization from the Middle East. But that organization there, this is what he wrote of his meeting. Do you know why the Middle East is the cauldron of hate? Because it's living with the logic of unforgiveness. I was talking to one of the founders of Hamas, Sheikh Talal. I was part of a group of people who'd gone to the Middle East to try and bring God's peace. Sheikh Talal gave us a great meal, told us of the 18 years he'd served in prison, how some of his children had been lost in suicide bombings. When my turn came to ask a question, I said, Sheikh, forgive me if I'm asking you the wrong question, but please tell me, what do you think of suicide bombing and sending your children out to do that? After he finished his answer, I said to him this. Now, in his book, he says, inspired by God, and you can see why when you hear what he says. Sheikh, you and I may never see each other again, so I want you to hear me. A little distance from here is a mountain upon which Abraham went 5,000 years ago to offer his son. As the axe was about to fall, God said, stop. I said to the Sheikh, do you know what God said after that? He shook his head inquiringly. I said, God said, I myself will provide. He nodded his head. I said, very close to where you are sitting, Sheikh, is a hill. 2,000 years ago, God kept that promise and brought his son, and the axe did not stop this time. He sacrificed his own son because he wants to know you. And you to know him. Brave words, aren't they? To say to someone in that position. When he just stared at me, the room was full of smoke and there were loads of security people around. I said, I may never see you again, Sheikh, so I want to leave you with something. Until you and I receive the son that God has provided, we'll be offering our own sons and daughters on the battlefields of this world for land and power and pride, for all earthly reason and for no reason. His lips began to quiver. He was sitting right next to me. Nobody said anything after that. As we were walking out, Sheikh Talal went quickly and shook hands with everyone and then came over to me, grabbed me by the shoulders, kissed me on both sides of my face, patted me and said, you're a good man. I hope to see you again someday. The thing is, friends, our world, those that are against God's nation Israel, need to understand God's grace. His amazing, powerful, all-living grace. It's an unparalleled message. In Hinduism, you pay with karma. In Islam, you never know if your good deeds are good enough and they'll outweigh your bad deeds. But Christians believe that the grace of God is sufficient for all. That it comes to you and says, if anyone comes to me, I will in no way cast them out. I love that. Guess what, friends? Here's the good news. We're saved. You don't sound that right, Rory, please. But the reality is we are. Under God, we're saved. We have no worries. I love that. I love it because I realize the amount of time I mess up in my life and need that saving grace. And the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesians about God's plan of reconciliation, which is what we've got here, to bring unity in Christ. He explained the former alienation from God in verses 11 and 12. And then in Ephesians 2:13, he says this, "But now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near." How? By the blood of Christ. That is, the Gentiles, you and I, were far off from God spiritually. We didn't have a relationship with him at all. But by the blood of Christ, they have been brought near. That is to say, we've been reconciled spiritually with God. The reconciliation of you and I to our Creator God, the reconciliation of you and I to each other, has been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, friends, as Paul argues with the Ephesians and reminds them of what unites them, Jesus Christ, rather than what divided them, circumcision, I have to say, I call on us all to be spiritually reconciled to one another. I choose not to fight you anymore. Is that okay? And I invite you to choose not to fight me. But together, I invite us to fight the enemy. Spiritually reconciled rather than humanly divided. Division in this place will see us doing the work of the enemy, but unity will see us standing together in the power of the Holy Spirit and fighting with the Lord for a lost community. Friends, if we do, then quite literally, God will have his way among us and we will stand together for our community. And I literally mean that this place will be the most dangerous place to the enemy in Minehead. That sounds to me like a goal worth going for, a prize worth having. Now, last week I prayed this over the church, and I wrote the prayer down when I got home, and I want to remind you again of some of what this was prayed. May this place be a place at peace with itself again, Lord. And because it's at peace with you, may it be filled again, Lord, with your glory and honor. And may our community know that here is where they can come and meet with the risen Lord, because here is where the peace and grace of the Holy Spirit is at work, and his work is not restrained, because the underlying spirit is not one of disharmony. I prayed that last week, and it wasn't until I got home I thought, wow. But it's true, isn't it? This church declares itself united in Christ and reminds the enemy that we are the Lord, that he has already won the victory, that the enemy has no power here. Because as Paul declares in Ephesians 2:14-18, Jesus Christ has already done the work of reconciliation among us. He's already done it. And if you hear me declare this again and again and again and again and again, then you won't be wrong, because friends, I believe that our Father God wants us to hear loud and clear that he is calling this church to a place of unity. Not so that we can have quiet lives, so that he can be glorified. And only when we stand in unity, friends, will he be able to achieve here fully what he wants to achieve here. I believe the Lord wants to give us, the brokenhearted, the desperate, the lonely, the confused, the isolated, and the lost of Minehead. But we need to stand united in order to receive them. Because as they come, they will test the very nature of this church And in so doing, our Lord will pour out his grace upon this place and we will change forever. Remember the words of Ephesians 6 we talked about last week? The reality is that Paul has in mind, as he writes this letter, we are at war. This, friends, is spiritual warfare. I invite everyone here this morning to lay aside all that divides us, to put down those things we use as weapons against each other, to take up his arms, to follow our Lord into battle. Want to know how subtle those weapons can be? One lady at our previous church described to everyone she met, she described me to everyone she met in the community. She said, you should go and see Paul. And she said this, she said, you'll have to excuse him though, he's scruffy. I think I'm quite all right actually, fair enough. But those were her words, you're scruffy. And then she'd say something like this, church isn't quite what it should be, but you can excuse him that too. Now I can live with the scruffiness, but that second bit, no, hold on. In reality, friends, we have to put down the weapons that we will use one against each other. Today is the day, friends, we declare that as Paul himself says, Jesus himself is our peace in verse 14, that we rely upon him utterly and totally. We lay aside whatever divisions we had and whatever divisions still exist, and we declare that in Christ we are made one. Jesus has destroyed the barrier that divides us, according to this. And if he's destroyed the barriers, and you still find a barrier here, there can be only one explanation. Either we've built it or we're holding on to it. Can you see how that works? If Christ has destroyed the barriers and we find a barrier between us, we're the ones that have built it. We need to take it down. To be brave, let it go. One of the problems of the church of today, this is my personal opinion, is that we call people to come and meet the living God, and we come and we say to them, come to this church, you'll find him here. And then we spend the rest of the time building walls between us, which we're keen to explain to anyone who comes along. I was once in a church, it wasn't my home church, I have to tell you, before I say this. I was once sitting at a church, and this lady came in, she was an elderly lady, and she came in with another elderly lady. And this was kind of the conversation. She went, come and sit over here, dear. If you imagine this church, it might be like saying, come and sit over there. These were her words. Come and sit over here, dear. The young people sit over there, and we don't want anything to do with them, do we? Now, on the face of it, you might think that's a very innocent comment, but can you see how that builds a barrier straight away? In reality, friends, we have to break down the walls, don't we? We've spent so much time, so many of us, building dividing walls, that becomes a problem. Because when we declare in Christ that we're one, those walls show that we don't live out the reality of that in our life, in church, let alone for the other 6 days a week. No wonder, in my opinion, so few people come to know the living Lord when churches put barriers in their way. I'll repeat that. For me, it was a shock when I even thought it and wrote it, but it's true. No wonder so few come to know the living Lord when even the church, I would add his church, puts barriers in the way. Here, as he writes to the Gentiles and Jews alike in Ephesians, Paul calls them to, in verse 13, recognize that it was for a purpose. One of the purposes that Jesus came was to create in himself one new humanity out of two, thus making peace. The good news is that you are different from me, isn't it? But that doesn't stop us being one. Christ makes us one. It's us that just divide. And today my call is for us to repent. To repent of the time and effort we've put into dividing Christ's church. Because boy, can you and I put some effort into that. This morning, let us together repent and reaffirm our commitment to stop dividing Christ's church. You make that commitment, God will take you at your word. Lorraine and I once was in a church, we were talking about unity. And I had an idea. My idea was to show the youth of the church and the older folk that it was all about the spirit that was within. It was a bright summer's day. And I prayed to the Lord, Lord, bring unity in this church. And he did it in a way that stunned me. Because as I took my shirt off to reveal my Hawaiian shirt underneath, people were laughing. I had a pair of blurry Hawaiian shorts on underneath my trousers. And I decided for dramatic effect to turn my back on the audience. It was then, as I started to undo my trousers, I realized I was facing the elderly choir. Now, the reason I tell you that story is two reasons. First of all, the youth, were they not, Lorraine, for weeks after, were shouting at you and I in the street, there goes the stripper. But afterwards, it was really brilliant to see young and old alike laughing over what the minister had done. Unity can come in very many ways, and we'll leave that up to God, but we do pray for unity here, don't we? Because Paul wants us to acknowledge that we don't need to be homogenized in Christ, but he does want us to be harmonized. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, just as a body, though one, we have many parts, but all its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Amazing, stunning words. In reality, friends, the message of this morning is a simple one. Let's commit ourselves to stop doing all that divides us and recognize again that we're one in Christ. This morning, let us come once again before our Lord in repentance, in acknowledging that he longs to reconcile us one to another so that all in Minehead may come to know him. Let's end with a simple prayer. Lord, make us united in you, your church, so that the whole of Minehead and beyond might come to know who you are and how you came to reconcile all of us, sinners as we are, to the Father in Jesus Christ by your Holy Spirit. Amen.
To leave a comment on the sermon, please go to minehead-baptist.com/sermons. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.